The Holy Gospel according to John. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish? You have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish that the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day today, this week, and always. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. When I was younger, we lived in Germany, and we would go walk in the apple orchard and go visit the sheep with my grandmother. We lived on the edge of the village with farmland between the orchard and sheep. One particular day, my family, including my 2-year-old sister, were coming out of the apple orchard when out of nowhere, a huge, shaggy, white and black, old English sheepdog came bounding towards us as if he were on a mission to get to where he needed to be. Before we knew it, he bounced right on top of my 2-year-old sister's chest and pushed her down to the ground. He did not do it with malice, but it was as if with fervor to reach his goal. he did not see what was in front of him. My poor sister. I am surprised to this day that she still likes dogs. The sheepdog's behavior is not what a typical sheepdog is known to do. Sheepdogs are actually known to be neither nervous nor aggressive. Characterized by the New Zealand Kennel Club as sometimes couch potatoes, and known to even try to herd children by gently bumping them, they typically have temperaments that can be described as intelligent, social, and adaptable. The American Kennel Club attributes them to having a clownish energy, and they may try to herd people or other objects. The sheepdog that bounded on top of my sister with energy reminds me of Peter's impulsivity. He was impulsive and rash, with his eyes on the goal, jumping in the water when Jesus called him out to sea to come to Jesus, who was walking on water. When he did not want Jesus to wash his feet before the Last Supper, he changed his mind, saying, "Bathe all of me," when Jesus told him that without letting Jesus serve him, Peter would have no part of him. And when he impulsively cut off the guard's ear when they came to arrest Jesus, Jesus asked him to put away the sword. Peter has big emotions and big responses. He loves big. His love for Jesus is shown in all of his actions. Yet his limitations of being human and sinful shine through in his wavering faith when he took his eyes off Jesus on the water and began to sink. When he thought that his way of doing things was better than Jesus' way in the foot washing. When he acted out of his emotions of anger and fear rather than out of Jesus' teaching of the peaceable kingdom of God when he cut off the soldier's ear. When he denied his identity in Jesus as a follower of Jesus, as Jesus had predicted he would 3 times before the cock crowed, as he sat by the charcoal fire the day that Jesus was arrested. Yet Jesus, in his 3rd resurrection appearance in the Gospel of John, comes to reinstate Peter as they sat around a charcoal fire, asking Peter if he loves Jesus 3 times. In doing so, Jesus accepts Peter in spite of his sinful and broken nature. He accepts him and sees him as who he is, a beloved, forgiven child in Christ Jesus, claimed in baptism as God's very own. Jesus has a hopeful promise for Peter to continually be shaped in the image of Christ through Jesus speaking the truth in love and offering abundant grace. As Peter remembers his baptism and is fed by Jesus at the charcoal fire. And Jesus gives him purpose, reminding him to share that grace with others. Like the sheepdog who seems to have denied his identity as a sheepdog and his purpose that leads from that identity to gently herd sheep and even people, Peter denied his identity as a follower of Jesus 3 times. Yet, though Peter denied his identity in Jesus, the identity which he and all of us received in baptism, Jesus returns to Peter in the Gospel of John, reinstating him, reminding of him of his purpose. In this, he is giving Peter an opportunity for new life in Jesus, which we all receive every time we confess our sin and trust in God's grace given to us in baptism. And every time we confess our sin in corporate and individual confession at the beginning of worship or whenever, and whenever we receive the absolution. And every time we receive the free gift of Jesus' body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine and Holy Communion for the forgiveness of sin. Like Peter, we are raised to new life through Jesus' forgiveness. and give a new life and purpose, where Jesus asks us, do you love me? If the answer is yes, then our purpose is this: feed my lambs. Jesus asks us again, do you love me? If yes, then tend my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus' reminder to us about our vocation given to us in baptism is that we become a part of the body of Christ for the sake of the world. What does it mean to you when Jesus gives us purpose to feed my lambs? If lambs are the youngest of the flock, how have you done that in the past? What has changed in the lives of lambs and their parents these days? Are lambs always children? How do you meet them where they are and feed Jesus' lambs? What does it mean to you when Jesus tells you to tend his sheep? Have they been tended in the past? How are they being tended now? How is God calling St. Matthew to tend Jesus' sheep in the future? One way we are doing this with a part-time interim pastor is through the priesthood of all believers. Thanks be to God, Sue Kuhn is leading the Stephen ministers who are trained to listen and offer confidentiality to their brothers and sisters in Christ in times of crises. I have also seen ministries here where volunteering quarterly for IHN or Interfaith Hospitality Network offers comfort to those who find themselves homeless. I've heard that Joe Bus Jr. has been the liaison for MEND for 5.5 years. It's an organization that helps address the housing situation. And John Turpak and Hal Cooper have graciously offered to step in to serve as liaison. How can we support them in this ministry? The Funeral Guild is also another way to reach out to those who are hurting in the loss of a loved one. Are there other areas you would find helpful at St. Matthew in tending Jesus' sheep? Is there a need for support groups for those bereaving loved ones who have departed that are not spouses? Because we do host the HOPE program for those who have lost spouses. Are there support groups for families in need of meeting who deal with mental health concerns? Is there a need for more connection groups for singles, families with children who are on the autism spectrum, people who have gone through divorce or a long breakup, a group for families with small children, or a support group for families with teenage children? Or those who find themselves to be empty nesters? How is God calling you to answer your vocation to tend his sheep? Jesus equips us with the Holy Spirit and gives us gifts to share. When Jesus asked Peter the third time, "Do you love me?" And with Peter's affirmation responds, "Then feed my sheep." What does it mean to you to feed my sheep? One way is to volunteer to serve as a Eucharistic minister, to be fed by Jesus at Holy Communion, and then be sent out to feed those who are homebound or hospitalized with Holy Communion. A Another way is to bring your children to worship in Sunday school so they may learn about how Jesus claims, forgives, loves, feeds, and sends us to love and serve our neighbor as ourselves. Or you can volunteer to serve on council to help guide the ministries of St. Matthew. Or bring food for the Bridge of Peace casserole ministry. Or bring in food for the Morristown Ministerium food pantry in the Bridge of Peace food pantry. There are many ways. How is the Holy Spirit calling you to answer Jesus' call? I have seen the vibrant ministry of the Lunch Bunch, who makes sandwich for the homeless. Families with small children are welcome to participate. Deacon Bill and other volunteers meet on Thursday. I believe it's the third Thursday of the month. Second Thursday of the month to make sandwiches. It only takes an hour, but the ministry needs are great, and it's a blessing to share in that ministry. Like Jesus' question to Peter, "Do you love me?" Again and again, Jesus asks us that question, having been fed through his grace on the cross and his body and blood for the forgiveness of sin and Holy Communion. And then he calls us to follow him. For Saul, the journey doesn't end with the blinding light on the road. For Peter, the journey doesn't end with breakfast on the beach. Conversion sets each of them and each of us on a path that continues for the rest of our life on earth and leads into life eternal. Thanks be to God that despite denying our identity and purpose, like Peter, we still have belonging and purpose in Jesus crucified and risen in baptism, and are fed at the table so that we may go out and feed and tend others with his grace and with his help. Amen.